Happy Sabbath, church. I feel like I haven't seen you for a long time, which is actually literally true. It's probably been how many months now? A couple of months? That's a long time. So I'm glad to be back and to be able to see everybody. Not everybody is here, but praise God that we get to connect again. So let's see. I did have this set up, so please bear with me. Coming up. Well, as this is connecting, it will get there. I think it's on now. Yeah, it should have come through by now. But I just wanted to say thank you to our praise team. Really appreciate just how it is that you minister to our church through music. And I actually didn't know about the young guy on the drums. I actually thought he was limited to just the piano and the guitar. And then when I saw him on the drums, I thought, okay, now we're you know, so I got to up my instruments as well. But thank you so much to our praise team. Thank you, Liz, for your welcome. I know many people weren't able to hear it, but I know the Holy Spirit hopefully was able to carry the message so that way people can hear it. Thank you for that beautiful prayer as well. Beautiful words from Scripture that just helped to be able to encourage us and remind us of why we're here. And Colin, I loved your intro. That was such a good intro. So thank you. And so on that note, I'd love for us to just close our eyes in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity where we can worship you. I know that there are many in other countries who are not fortunate to be able to meet every Sabbath. But we are gifted this opportunity to come, to connect, to fellowship, and to be reminded of how good you are. And so as we continue to worship you in spirit and in truth, we ask and pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to lead us, continue to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive of how it is that you require to lead in our lives. We love you and we praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Growing up, I loved listening to this particular song. And the song is titled, Jesus is the Answer for the World Today. So with this song, I remember when I first listened to it, it's by an artist named Andre Crouch. And every time the song came on, I would like blast it. Jesus is the answer. I'm just trying to give you the emphasis. I'm not going to sing it. But just loved singing it. And then as you grow up, as I grew up, one of the things that started to happen was, as I'm singing these words, Jesus is the answer for the world, I'm starting to experience different things. I'm starting to see that, hang on, life actually isn't as straightforward and as, you know, it's not, how would you say it? It's not as perfect as you'd think it would be when you're at a young age. And so as I continue to journey, the song would play. Jesus is the answer. And I'm like, yeah, what I'm seeing around in the world today, Jesus is kind of the answer. And then as I continue to journey, the song would play again at a later stage in life, and I would still question whether Jesus was really the answer. And so over a period of time of singing this song as a young person, very, very young, I got to journey through the meaning of this song, Jesus is the Answer. And so now when I sing Jesus is the Answer, it means a totally different thing from when I used to sing it when I was young. And so what I want to be able to propose to our church today There are many, many, many questions that we all have. And a lot of the times when questions are asked, there are different types of responses that occur. And when the responses come, they're either going to be in favor of the question that you are asking or not in favor of the question that you are asking. Over this year, if our church was to reflect on many of the things that have happened this year in your own personal life, would it be true that questions have been asked of God? Would it be true that you yourself have found yourself in a position where you have questioned God? Because some of us may not necessarily question God depending on what or how you view God. So you limit that. But I tell you now, with a God who says, come let us reason, that's healthy for us to ask questions. And so as we explore how Jesus is the answer and look at how it can relate to you and your personal life, what you see on the news, what you see in your community, what you see in your family, my prayer is that your conclusion will come to something that says Jesus is truly the answer for our world today. And what we're going to do is we're going to explore a passage in Scripture, and it's found in John 5. So I'd love for you to open your Bibles to John 5. And we're going to be looking at a story found in verse 1 to 15. So some of you may have different translations. I'm just going to read through it. You can listen or you can follow along with your particular interpretation. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, but while I am coming, another steps before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, "Who was cured? It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. Praise God for the reading of his scripture. The title of our sermon today is Do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? If you want me to correct and make my English a little bit proper, do you want to be well? Either way, communicates the same message. In our first point of looking at this particular story, you find Jesus coming to the pool of Bethesda. This man is lying there for 38 years. Now, what's interesting about this is that this particular pool of Bethesda, a location, the only time it is actually mentioned in Scripture is in this passage in John 5. Nowhere else in Scripture is found anything that talks about Bethesda. And so here you get a sense of the picture. This is what they've excavated of the pool of Bethesda. Now, many thought that this pool actually didn't exist. And here's the reason why. Is because there were five. They thought there were five porticos, as you've read in Scripture. And they thought that that fifth one didn't exist. And it wasn't until it was excavated that they found out that this pool actually exists. And the fifth wall was actually like a tunnel or a passage of water that separated the upper and the lower pools. Now, here's what's interesting about the word Bethesda, is that when you break down the word Bethesda, it's actually known as the house of mercy, the house of grace, and it could also mean or be known as shame or disgrace. When you are sick for 38 years, and you're sitting waiting to be healed, but you're in the house of mercy, something is not right. If there is a place that is meant to be a place of healing, it's meant to be this place of Bethesda, because it stands for mercy, the house of mercy. But yet for 38 years, this person comes, or depending on what the context is and how you've read it, this person is pretty much there for 38 years and no healing ever takes place. That is confronting, because when this place is meant to be a pool of mercy, a place or a house of mercy and grace, it doesn't even have that representation when people are coming who are needing that grace and mercy extended to them. Something is problematic. Something is wrong in this place. And so in this place that is meant to stand for mercy and grace, guess who needs to come to remind people what the place stands for? It's Jesus. And so Jesus comes to this pool to be able to do something. But it's something that is meant to be what the actual word or the place, the name of this place is, the pool of Bethesda. As Jesus comes into the pool of Bethesda and has a conversation with this person who has been in this condition for 38 years. He asked the question, do you want to be well? When someone asks a question like that, considering the answer that he gave, you would think the answer would be, yeah, I want to be well. Because he's been lying there for how long? For 38 years. But he asked the question, do you want to be well? Do you want to be made whole? But instead, he provides a what? What would you call it? He provides a what? Provides an excuse. The challenge that we can have when people are asking us a question is that we struggle to recognize that we are in need of help. When the question is asked, do you want to be well? I know that at different times and at different points, the answer is not even what the answer should be. And so therefore, it becomes another excuse, oh, I can't do this, or I can't do that. And you can see this man, 38 years, his answer is, oh, I've tried this, I've done that, I've been doing this, I've been doing that, and I still can't get to the place where I need to get to. And so this house of Bethesda, this pool of Bethesda, which is meant to represent grace and mercy, is not being extended. And so therefore, the people who come into the house of Bethesda, or grace, these very people are trying to do things themselves. Why is this important? It's because when you notice the question that Jesus asks, do you want to be well? Do you want to be made whole? He's talking about the whole person, but notice the answer of this person who's sick for 38 years. What do you think his answer is? He says, I've been trying. Therefore, the way in which he's looking at his situation is only what is directly in front of him. Not what Jesus is asking. Do you want to be made well, whole? I'm pausing here because this question sometimes becomes the question that stops us from being able to progress and move forward. This question can create tension in our situations, in what we see, because of the difficulty that we can have in recognizing our need for help. Because when you have done it for so long on your own, trying to find solutions, trying to find ways, it becomes difficult to actually admit that you need help. Life experiences put us in positions where we have progressed, where we have done everything to work our way through things, where we have done everything to make ourselves comfortable, where we have done everything to make sure everything is in our control. And so therefore, when things are set up and you've been in that position to guarantee that things are in place the way you want to, it's hard to see that you need help. It's hard to recognize that when this question is asked, do you want to be well? Well, I'm well. And the challenge is when Jesus asks the question of us, do you want to be well? Church, do you want to be well? We can answer him in many ways. Oh, no, I'm good. Finances are good. I've got a house, all of this. I've got a good job. all of that. No, I've got all of these things in order. And so therefore, it becomes really difficult for us to be able to see the true answer of what it should be when Jesus asks us the question, do you want to be made well? There are things that debilitate us. There are things that stop us from being able to have those, just what it is that God wants for us. In this story found in John 1, verse 15, this man thought he had the answer. This man thought that after all these years of being able to work towards what it is that he thought he was going to work towards, he was confronted with the question, do you want to be made well? Over this last year, things haven't been easy. So when I think of the question, do you want to be made whole? I think of Jesus asking me that question. And many times, my answer has been excuses. Yeah, I've got it. I look all right. I'm a pastor. I should be okay. So the answers come because they become this coping mechanism of not dealing with the real answer that I'm meant to give. Do you want to be made well? This year, lost a really amazing mentor. Many would know him as Pastor Eddie Erica. Massive, massive mentor. Was there when I was born. And then pretty much my journey into ministry, he paved the way in amazing ways. So even to have that question asked of myself is hard. Yeah, we have the promises in Scripture. Yeah, we have God's Word. But the reality, it's hard at different times. And so in sharing these three points with our church family, excuse me, I know that this story in Scripture is a reminder to myself, is a reminder to you, that when it comes to God, He's the one who seeks us out. He's the one who's asking us, be real. Do you want to be well? And the things that debilitate us, that get in the way of what it is that God envisions and wants for our lives, He wants that so much. This is an example of being asked if you need help and me saying no, and it still comes. That's grace. And so, church, this is not a massive sermon. This is a reminder to our church family. This is just a small reminder to our church family. We're going to go through things. There are things that are going to happen. But Jesus is always seeking us out. When the question is asked of you from our church family, are you okay? It's going to be a battle whether you want to answer it in the most honest way or you want to put up some fronts like I did. But what can debilitate you can get in the way of what God wants to do for you. So my prayer, church, it's not about you seeking God out. He's already seeking you. He's wanting to make you well. He's wanting to make you whole. And whatever it is that you find that debilitates you in life, let this year be a reminder that God's got you. God's got you, family. Yeah. Praise and worship team, come on.